Good morning, everyone. It's nice to see some faces I know. Hi, Nate. And it's so good to see the Dominguez family back in church. Dear Heavenly Father, may our lives and our fellowship be marked by works of faith, labor of love, and steadfastness of hope. By your grace, we are holy people, beloved and chosen by you. And when the gospel came to us, it came not only in words, but also in power, in the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction. Not that we were sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from you and you alone. You are the one who accomplished our salvation, turning us from worldly things which we once loved to serve you, the living and true God. You are the one who awakens us to receive the word, and not the word of men, but for what it really is, the Word of God, which performs its perfect work in all of us who believe. Our salvation came solely from you. You sent your Son to die for our sake while we were still sworn enemies of righteousness, haters of God. Your graciously removed the scales from our eyes and drew us to faith. You opened us to see more of your truth, opened our hearts to believe it more and more deeply, and opened our mouths to declare it more faithfully. May we imitate the Lord Jesus Christ and be godly examples to one another in our home, our church, and in our neighborhoods. Help us to grow into full maturity and Christ-likeness. We know the necessary nourishment for the kind of growth is found only in your word. We cannot live by bread alone, but every word that comes from you. May we therefore search the scriptures, for they point us to Christ, they reveal his glory, they reflect his holy character. From them we learn of his suffering, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, his intercession, and his glorious return. By them you speak to us from heaven, and in them we hear the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking plainly, giving us attentive ears, causing us to hear your truth with all humility and obedience. You opened our eyes to see the clarity, and you opened our ears to hear with understanding. May we drink deeply of in this and the truth and feed our famished souls with its nourishment. And may our hearts, like the heart of those on the road to Emmaus, burn within us. Amen.
Well, good morning again. It's good to see everybody here today, be here on a Labor Day weekend. Get your Bibles ready, get your outlines out. We're going to talk about a subject today. We're going to talk about work. Tom talked about the work of God. He talked about how God is at work all the time. We're going to talk about our work as we go through our message this morning. You know, as I was kind of looking at this, you know, it would say this. It says that many would say that the Labor Day weekend is a kind of end of the summer. You're supposed to go, oh. But it might be end of the heat, so we're happy, you know, that kind of thing. But it is like the end of the summer. The weekend's filled with a lot of stuff, a lot of travel, fun, parades, barbecues. As I was looking at what goes on in our nation on Labor Day, college football starts. No cheers with that one either. Okay. But Labor Day's been celebrated in the United States on the first Monday in September since 1894. I found that very interesting. This national holiday What it does, it honors the contribution that workers have made to the strength, to the prosperity, and the well-being of our country. That's what it's for. That's why we have Labor Day. It honors the contribution that workers have made to the strength, the prosperity, and the well-being of our country. For that reason, and because it being Monday being Labor Day, I thought it would be good to talk about work. And I entitled our topic today, The Way of Work, the way of work that God has given for you and me. A good place to start is out of Colossians 3, 23 through 24. We're going to look at those two verses. We'll kind of jump off there. Go ahead and turn your Bibles there. Open up to there, Colossians 3, 23 and 24. We'll begin there, look around in Colossians there, and we'll jump in some other places and go through our Bible and look at the way we work. Like I said in our outline, I identified a kind of a whole picture of the work that we do. If you look at your outline, I have work. I have on the backside, I have deeds and task and labor. So these terms that I'm going to be using are going to involve really everything that we work at that you and me do, everything that we work at. And God certainly cares about the way we work. He certainly cares about the task that we do. He certainly cares about the labor that we do, the work that we do, the deeds that we do. He cares about how we do them and what we do them for. So let's begin this morning by reading our text that we're going to jump off from in Colossians 3. 23 and 24. Are you there with me? Good. Now look at the text and we'll begin here and then we'll go from here. Paul writes, "Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve." Pretty basic, isn't it? Pretty simple. It's in there. You can teach that with your kids on why you do chores, and you can teach that in your families on why you do the work that you do. You can teach it at work if you're a boss at work or in that kind of thing. You can refer to this. This is about our work. This is about our jobs. This is about what we do. You see, the way we work as God's children, God cares about. The word work here means being what you do that contributes to providing resources for you and for others and for your family. That's pretty simple, isn't it? That's what the word here means in the context, what Paul is talking about. He's talking about your job, your career, the things that God does, has you be doing to provide, to contribute, to providing resources for you, for your family, and others. So that's what he's talking about in the context here. It matters to God, doesn't it? Would you guys say it matters to God? What does it matter to God, the deeds, the task, the labor that you do in your life? Ladies, does it matter to God how you do the laundry? Amen. Good. It matters. It matters to the men how you cook the food, right? It matters to God how we do all the things you do. Kids, does it matter to God how you do your chores? It sure does, doesn't it? It does. It matters to God. He wants to. It's incredible how much it matters, but it's not in the sense that God is. We were speaking about it this morning at our home. We were talking about manners. Does it matter to God our manners at the table? Come on, ladies. You should have big. Whoa, it matters, right? It matters to God, but not in the sense of that he's upset that when your manners aren't what God would say they are. It matters to God is that you would learn the principles that we care about each other and we care about what God wants in our life. And that it has a relationship aspect in all of the things that God cares for us and the things that we do. It's in work, it's in deed, it's in task, it's in labors, it's in all of that. We're going to look at this today and talk about it because it matters to God. Work is just a part of the life for the Christian. I want you to think about that for a moment. It's just part of the life for the Christian. It's never separated from the Christian life. Listen to this. The way of work for you and for me is no less important to God than the way of worship for you. It's no less important to God than the way of parenting. The way of work for you is no less important than the way of marriage. It's all important. God speaks to it about in here. So first I want you to notice, if you look at our two verses, I want you to notice the way of work is relational. It's about your relationship with God and relationship with others. That's what he's talking about. If you would look back at verse 12 through 16, just above it, look what he said there. He said, as God's holy and chosen people, he says, put on a heart of compassion and kindness and gentleness. He's talking about our relationship with each other. He's talking about to forgive each other as you've been forgiven. He's talking about loving each other. He's talking about all these things about let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called into one body. That's relational. and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So right in the context of what God is talking to us about our work, right in the context as it flows through 12 through 17 is about our relationship with each other. So look at 18 and 19. 18 and 19 are about husbands and wives. 20 and 21 are about parents and children. Verse 22 is about slaves and masters, which in our vernacular, in our day, that's employees and bosses and employers. So God writes this right in this section that he's talking about relationships. If you would look at Ephesians chapter 4, all the way through chapter 6, verse 9, the same pattern is set up. Chapter 4 begins with about our relationship with each other, that we have to have a certain kind of relationship. God wants us to be in relation with each other in how we act with each other. And then he goes and he talks about marriage and children and your relationship with the people at work. It's interesting if you think about it. I don't know if you know this, but when Paul was in prison, in the prison epistles that he wrote at this time, he wrote Ephesians, he wrote Colossians, he wrote Philemon. And they interact and they talk about it. So, you know, what God is saying here in his word is that it's a relational act here is what is going on. This work is about our relationships. So the way of work is about first relationships with God and then with others. And if I, you know, I could go through it, but I don't want to take a long time today. I just want us to put this on our heart and think about it. But if you think about Ephesians chapter 1 through 3, they're all about our relationship with God and what he did so we could have one. And then if you looked at Colossians chapter 3, since you've been raised up with Christ, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. And it's about our relationship with God. So God puts it specifically in his word, how he teaches us and how he talks to us, that it's important in our relationship with God we have this understanding and know this and be in one with him. And then he lines out for us how we're to be in relationship with others in different areas. And he includes work right in there. He doesn't put it separate like it's something over here. He puts it right in there that it's important for the instruction that he has about our work, first in relationship with God and then in relationship with others. And so if you think about it, what I'm talking about and what we're looking at here is that the way of work is guided and led first in your relationship with God and then with God's purpose in your relationship with others. So the first relational aspect with God is the way of your work. And look what I have in your outline. Look what he said in verse 23, or in verse 22. Slaves, in all things obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service, as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. So he's talking about relationships. Now, I told you, slaves, masters, then. In our time, that's employees, employers. Don't do it in eternal service as those that please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. That's in your relationship with God. What's that mean? If I ask you right now to write a definition of what it says and the way that you work in your life and that in your relationship with God, you're to do it with a sincerity, heart, fearing the Lord. What would you write down? Maybe a good time write a definition in your outline of what God is speaking about, and we work a lot, right? Don't we work a lot? We have jobs, we have careers, we have the things we do, we do all the things we do. This is what he's talking about, so God can provide for us. And he says, first and foremost, he says in relationship with God, it's in sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. You do your work fearing the Lord. That means in honor, in reverence, in respect of the Lord. That's how you do your work, your job, your career, whatever that you might be doing, whether you're helping somebody clean a house or you're doing some side jobs that you're doing, this is what it is. You're to do your work in your relationship with God in honor and reference and respect of the Lord. And it says with sincerity of heart. Now, what's that mean? Does that mean I'm just going to be sincere? I'm going to be sincere about the work that I'm going to do and honor the Lord? Well, let me help you with that. Be a good word to write down would be singleness. Sincerity of heart, the word there, a good way to understand it is singleness of heart. This would be the idea with one motive to honor, to reverence, to respect the Lord. That's what he's talking about. That's what God's talking about in the job, whether you're a teacher or a truck driver or you're a farmer and all the things. And the work that you do it in honor and reverence to the Lord in your relationship with him, in singleness of heart, in one motive. The motive is to honor and respect the Lord. The motive is to reverence God, to do it in a fear of the Lord. That's the motive. He says singleness of heart. That's what we're doing. It's not for men. It's not for you. It's not for people. This is what he's saying. The way of work for you and me, of being diligent, of being faithful, of working hard, of doing things in excellence, of honoring authority and with honesty and integrity. I could have wrote a lot of things down in there. There's no ulterior motive. There's no duplicity of motive in a moral sense, he's saying, but to honor and reverence the Lord. Now think about that. That's hard in our job, isn't it? That's difficult because there's a lot of other ulterior motives can be in why you're doing your job. Well, it's not wrong that you do your job well and then your boss notices that and then you move up on the scale of the ladder of getting promotions. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with doing your job in excellence and getting a raise and getting recognized. Nothing wrong with doing your... But you see, what he's talking about is the motive of your heart is that you do it to honor the Lord. You let the Lord take care of how that affects people. And that's why Paul's writing it in here. Parents, you're to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. You're to teach your children diligently in the instruction of the Lord. But you have to trust in the Lord in what you're doing as you're parenting because God is the one that is involved in everybody's life and using whatever he uses for his glory. These are the same principles that apply in your marriage. You have to love your wife like Christ loved the church and do the things that you don't have to, but God wants me to. Oh, I have to. No, but this is what God's plan and purpose is for me. And then God is the one taking care of the relationship and working that out. And what that becomes is what God wants it to become by what God's purpose is and God's plan is. And I do it in fearing the Lord. But if I have an ulterior motive of what I work for, this is where compromise comes into our life. Like I said, nothing wrong with wanting to make a good living and wanting to be successful and all of that. That's not what I'm not talking about. It's not wrong to do that, but what's the motive? And that's what Paul is addressing here. For the believer, for the Christian, for us, the motive of our work is to do in fear in the Lord with a singleness of heart. And we have to work on that because we're all having to work on that because that's something we all have to work on. Amen? And don't get discouraged if you say, well, I'm not perfect at that and I don't do all that. Well, yeah, you're not. That's why Jesus came, why we take communion and all of that. I'm on that journey. You're on that journey. I just want to keep going forward in that journey. And so first and foremost, if we look at our work and what Paul is teaching us here, it's with sincerity of heart and fearing the Lord. That's important. It's in relationship with God. And God wants to work in my life and in your life for us to be singleness of motive and him work that in our life, to do it in reverence and honor of the Lord and to the work that we do. And let him take care of what that adds to your life and trusting in him. I remember that when I learned this well in my life, I learned it well. 1996, the end of 96, I purchased the restaurant that I was running for my dad. I purchased it for my dad. And I just realized right now that was 20 years ago. I just realized that right now. I'm being honest with you. It's like, wow, that's 20 years ago. When I said 96, I was like, wow. But I purchased it, and I was going to do everything unto the Lord and honor him and run it with these ways and let God show me and those kind of things. And I had in my heart, I had, you know, God revealing to me, you know, I'm going to do it for the Lord. And that was my motive and what I wanted to do. But I had this certain expectation in my heart that if I did that, then the restaurant would be more profitable. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with trusting in the Lord and believing him and doing him unto him and having in your heart that God would bring fruit from that. Well, it was quite a bit less profitable. But see, God was working something out in my heart. He was working something out in my spirit about learning that I was doing it unto the Lord. And the outcome of that and what my expectations were was what I had to let go of. Now, God blesses and God does all of that, and that's true, and he does. And it could have been that God wanted me to learn the lesson that doing it the right way and honoring him in all that you do, in honesty, integrity, and faithfulness and all that, it could have produced a fruit of blessedness in your business. Nothing wrong with that. But he was working on my heart. My heart needed to know that I needed to do it unto the Lord from a singleness of heart. And I learned that. I'm still learning that. But he says something next. He doesn't just say singleness of heart. He says this. Look at verse 23. First, if it's with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord and your relationship with him. And then in verse 23, he says this, whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men. It's, you do it for as the Lord. The way of work for you is for him. You work for him, not for yourself, not for you, not for men, not for others. That's what he's saying here. You know, the way of you, the way you are to work is for him, that he's your boss. That's really how that's being presented there. He is the one that you work for. You can own everything. You can have a lot here, but you still work for him. That's what he said. God is in charge of what's going on here. We're not to take ownership that it's ours. It's him. We're still working for him. I saw a little joke the other day. I can't remember where I saw it. I was reading it somewhere. It could have been on Facebook. It could have been on the radio. But it just came to mind when I was going through this, and it was this worker was kicking back, and he's leaning back in his chair. Yeah, I remember now. I was in my office because I was leaning back in my chair. and he was kicking back, and he was at work. And then his boss came in, and he said, hey, what's going on? He said, oh, what's going on is I didn't see you enter the room. In other words, what's going on is when you enter the room, I don't kick back like this. Because you're my boss, and I don't want to see you what I actually do when you're not seeing me. See, the point being here is that the Lord is the one over us. The Lord is actually who we work for, and he sees all of our life. He sees all that we're doing. And we need to recognize in our own heart, if we're doing what we're doing, it's as for the Lord, not for men. We're not doing what we do for men. Now, men might notice it, men might not notice it. But we don't do it for men. We do it for the Lord. We work for him. Another illustration of that is I was reading this one guy had went and got a new job, and he was working really well at it. He had some education, and it came with 10 years in, and he was doing this job, and he's working at it, and he's doing excellent at it. But he notices all the employees that he's working with, seven other people. There's eight of them. They kind of are slothful. They're somewhat lazy. They found in some things there. They got their feet up when the boss isn't watching, and they're doing some things that aren't right. So he just keeps working hard. He wants to be a testimony for the Lord. He wants to, you know, just be honest, and he wants to just be an encouragement to the people that he's working with. Well, what happens is those seven other people don't like what it's revealing. This guy working hard, and us seven, we can kind of look at our lives right now and see that we're really working real hard. He's kind of showing that to the company, so they made up a lie and shared it, and the boss found out about it and fired the guy doing the right job. See, we don't know what God has in store. Now, would that guy want to compromise and be kind of lazy and not work real hard because these guys weren't liking them and they were going to do something to not have him be a part of that? You see, we work for the Lord. The Lord is over this. And that's what Paul is getting to. It's about a relational aspect in this, of your relationship with him is in the job that you're doing. Not that you're just faithful and that you're just walking in honesty and integrity and that you work hard and you show up on time and all those kind of things, but it's he is the boss that they work for. Whatever he's recognizing, whatever he's doing, has something incredible going on in it. We may have a hard time with it. See, because it really becomes in our relationship with God is, are we trusting him? There's an important aspect of that because we're going to pick that up in this. You see, God is saying you don't work to receive honor from men. Nothing wrong with it, but you work for the Lord. Look at verse 24. Knowing that from the Lord you receive the reward of the inheritance. What are you to be knowing? What are you to be knowing as you work this life that you're working? What are you to be knowing? What's it say you're to be knowing? That the Lord will bring you, will give you, the reward of the inheritance, right? That's what it says. You see the crux there, what he's talking about? Sometimes in our heart, we're looking for the reward right now. There's nothing wrong with working hard and getting rewarded for working hard. But knowing in our life, let me read it to you. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you receive the reward of the inheritance. So what's that? What's the reward of the inheritance? If you want to look with me, look at 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5. Now I need to show you something here because what Paul is talking about here, we would say the inheritance is this, and it is this. This is the inheritance. You'll receive the reward of the inheritance. If you look at 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5, this is what it says about the inheritance. Peter wrote about it in verse 3. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to obtain in the future to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. And you are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." That's the inheritance he's talking about that everybody gets. All of us will get that believe in Christ, that trust in the Lord. This is the reward of the inheritance. You have things waiting in heaven for you that are imperishable, undefiled, that God is protecting by the power of God, that a salvation to ready to be revealed, this incredible amount that I can't even teach on it all. That would take a long, long time, right, Pastor Tom, for us to go over all of that. But just grab this. It is an incredible thing that God has waiting for us because we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and have trusted in him, and by his grace, God has saved us, has rescued us, has delivered us. We have a relationship with God, and we have an inheritance waiting for us that's protected by God that nothing can touch. He's talking about that. In your work, remember that, knowing that this is what's waiting for you. I wrote it this way. I'm to be knowing that from the Lord, there's a great retirement plan for me. I just sometimes don't connect it that it's retirement from earth, not from my job. But there's a great retirement plan, but there's more to it than what he's talking about here. In our job, in our relationship with God, and to knowing what the inheritance that we're going to receive. It says the reward of the inheritance. You know what that means? This would be good to write down. First of all, it means what is to be given, what is given to one as a possession. Yes, that's what we talked about in 1 Peter 3 and 5. But as you go deeper into what Paul is saying, into the language and the use of the language, he's saying this. He's talking about the share which an individual will have in the eternal blessedness. You will have a share, I will have a share, we will all have a share. And what he's talking about, knowing the way you work will be rewarded in eternity by the way you work, and some of us will have more of a share. Did you know that? Did you know that it will be a bigger share? By the way you work. By the way you work in relationship with God and honoring him in sincerity of heart, God's going to recognize it in eternity forever. He's going to stand before the Lord, give an account for what we've done in this body, and Christ is going to recognize the way you have worked, what you put your hand to the plow to do, what you have done, if you did it unto the Lord in reverence of him as working for the Lord in that kind of heart, regardless of the success on this earth, regardless. This is the earth, isn't the judgment of that. He says, I'll recognize it there. I'll reward you there. It'll be a different share. Now, let me tell you, the only way we get a share is by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, by what God has done, sending his son to the cross and dying for our sins, paying the penalty of our sin, us putting our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all by grace and the grace of God that we can have any share of the eternal blessedness through faith in Jesus Christ. Grace alone, through faith alone, that's all it is. Nobody earns that, but once you're a believer in Christ, once you've trusted in the Lord, how you live with the grace that God has given you by the way you work is recognized in eternity. I like that. How about you? You think God hasn't just... To me, in my heart, this really ministers to me that God is going to recognize in eternity those that trusted and followed him and believed in him and surrendered their life to him and lived for him while they were here. Doesn't that minister to your heart? And this is another thing that he's talking about. This is just your work. Think about your work. This is just about your faithfulness, your diligence to honor God in the work that you do. And to making sure the oranges are round, right, Sam? You make sure they're like sweet or, you know, and ready to pick, right? You don't make sure they're round. I almost said round. Hey, Sam, you making sure the oranges are round? Which is an important job and a valuable job, but God's going to reward you for you doing it in the right way. This just overwhelms me. How about you? That he's going to acknowledge, thank you, Sam, for doing that in an honor and reverence for me. That's incredible to me. Ask for the Lord, knowing that the Lord will receive reward. Listen, it's working so the Lord will reward you in eternity. That's what he's kind of talking about, not for the temporal reward. And I agree, that's a challenge. Because there is a temporal reward for working hard and doing diligent. Nothing wrong with the temporal things that are brought that way. But in our heart, we want to do it for unto the Lord. It's why Paul says, do your work heartily. You know what that means in the text? That means from the soul. Do it from the soul. From your mind, will, and emotions in relationship with the Lord that God has rescued. Not from your flesh, okay? To do your work heartily is from your soul, not from your flesh. My flesh can work hard. How about yours? Can your flesh work real hard for something that you really want? Mine can. My soul can work really hard. You want to do it from there. My flesh does it for me. My soul, the God that saved me from the mind, will, and emotions that God has given me, that unto him that I can surrender to him, I can do it for him, and I can work heartily from my soul for him. Isn't this good? It's challenging, right? It's good, though, what God is talking about in here. And when we think of Labor Day, I think, you know, when I read that, you know, having a holiday, which is good in our country, it's right, you know, to honor the contribution people have done and the prosperity and the well-being of our country, working hard, that's a great thing. But then I read this, and I'm looking at this, and I wonder if we'll have a Labor Day in heaven. We're just going to have a Labor Day for all the guys that labored really good for the kingdom of God. We're going to celebrate all the warriors for the Lord. I'm just being silly, but that's okay. Paul is saying, so do your work heartily. That means from the soul, from your mind, will, and emotions, not from your flesh in relationship with your stuff, because ultimately it's about serving the Lord. And then what he says right at the end, it is the Lord Christ whom you serve. In your work, you don't serve you. You don't serve your temporal life. You don't serve your stuff. God uses your serving unto the Lord in your work to serve your family, to minister your family, serve your kids, have a home, minister your wife, and then vice versa in the other way. But you do it in service of the Lord. It's very helpful. It's encouraging when you read this and go through this, and you're having a hard time at your job, not getting recognized for what you're doing. You're having a hard time at your job, dealing with the hard things that are at your job. When you're having a hard time dealing with the things that are in your world, to remember to come back and say, you know, in a singleness of heart, I want to honor the Lord. You know, I'm working for you, Lord. I'm serving you. I know you're going to acknowledge all of this. I want to do this from my soul. Help me. Help me do my work this way. Help me work in this manner. Guide me and lead me in this way. That's what our work is about. It serves him, his plan, his purpose, his design, his will, his work. Think about that. Write that down. You don't have to write it down, but think of that. You can work in this world embracing the Lord and God in his plan, his purpose, his design, his will, and his work. Out of relationship with him. You see the relationship here that he's talking about? The way you work in relationship with God is to honor the Lord, work for him, serve his purpose, knowing that you will recognize in eternity if you've worked that way. So what's the purpose of work? To sustain you, to be a testimony for him. Isn't that true? He provides for your family, he provides for your vehicle, in your work and all that, but he's sustaining you so you can be a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only reason you're here. If you weren't doing that, he wouldn't have you here anymore. We know that to be true in God's word, right? If you're a believer in Christ, if you're in the church, if you're in the body of Christ, what God has left you here for is for you to be a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why what you're here for. When that's done, God doesn't have you here anymore. That's who we are. That's our job. That's our responsibility. That's what God has done in the world. It's called the church age. The church was left here and gathered together and worships together is what they are to be a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. When that testimony's done, we're not here anymore. And so the purpose of all of this work, is to sustain us, to provide for us. Yes, nothing wrong with doing the things that we do and enjoying the things that we have and all of that. Don't get lost that, oh, you can't do any of that. That's not what I'm talking about. You see, and all of this work is also about relationship with others. Look at verse 22. Look what he says there. Slaves, in all things, obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external services, those who merely please men. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. Masters, grant to your slaves justice and fairness, knowing that you too have a master in heaven. He's just talking about relationships at work. You see, and the way you're in relationship with God and the way you work really influences the relationships that you have going around in your life. You see, the way you work is a tool for God to use, and God is always using it to encourage, to build up, to show Christ in those that are around you. That's an important aspect of what we need to learn about in our work, or recognize, I'm not saying we don't know it, but recognize in the way you work every day, it is really, in a sense, because God has you as his church, a tool that God uses to encourage others, to build up others, and to show Jesus Christ to those that don't know Christ. That's the purpose God has into it. Listen to this. Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians 3, 7 through 9, he wrote this. He wrote this, "For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example, because we did not act in an undisciplined manner among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with labor and hardship we kept working night and day so that you would not be a burden to any of you, that we would not be a burden to any of you, not because we did not have the right to do this, but in order that to offer ourselves as a model for you so that you would follow our example." Do you know the way you work can be an example to other believers in this world, to encourage them, to strengthen them, to build them up, that through whatever trials, whatever difficulties of your job, that you keep honoring the Lord, doing it unto the Lord, it can be such a big encouragement to the other believers in your life. And it is, because you're challenged with the difficult things that you challenge with. And so the relationship with others becomes that God uses you in your relationship with him, working the way he wants you to do, to encourage and to build up others, to be an example for them, and however God would use that. But you know, it's about them seeing Christ too. Listen to 1 Peter 3. Listen to 1 Peter 3, where Peter writes about this in verse 15 and 16. He says, "Sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to anyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence, and keep a good conscience, so that in the thing which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame." When does that happen? That happens in your working world. That happens in the world that you're in, that you're doing your deeds, your task, your labor, your work. That's when that happens. People see you in the way you work. People see you in honoring the Lord and staying faithful, not getting critical, quit grumbling, complaining, not putting other employees down, not speaking bad about the boss, just doing your job. Other people see and say, well, what's the hope that you have? That's what that text is. Sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart. For when somebody asks you, how can you keep doing this? Our boss is mean. Because I work for the Lord, buddy. Because Christ is the one I serve. And they're going to look at you, and some are going to say, I want to know the hope. The others are going to slander you. The others are going to say, you're nuts. Man, you're one of those religious guys. You're one of those crazy guys. Do you pray north, south? You know, you're going to hear all kinds of things. But see, right in the same text, God says it has his plan and purpose in relationship with others. Let me tell you, before I came to Christ, I called you all crazy. I thought you guys were woo-hoo, loony. I was like, oh my goodness, these guys, these people that go to this church are just like, you know. And then God spoke to my heart and said, you need forgiveness, guy. Almost said not a nice word. And then God pierced my heart with the truth, and I recognized you're the ones that are the example. You're the ones that know the Lord. You're the ones with the hope. I want what you have. See, that's what God's talking about our work. Right in the midst of all these relationships. Right in the midst of all of this. I remember praying for when I was at the restaurant and doing those kind of things. Some guys that were there in the counter, and they were getting older and had cancer and had some things. And I just asked the Lord, whatever way you can use me, I want to share Christ with that guy. His time isn't much. He's pulled up his bootstraps, his entire 55 years of work, and he's made a life for him and his family. He's got a good career, good life. He's done a lot of things. He's a nice guy. He's an encouraging guy. He cares about others, but he does not know you. And none of that matters. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Yes, work hard, pull up your bootstraps, and do all of those things, and put your nose to the grindstone and work hard and do all the things that you need to do, but do it unto the Lord and let God be the one that dictates the outcome of that. Because what matters is your relationship with God and the salvation of souls. Because at the end of it all, you guys all know, none of it goes with us. None of it. The way of work is to be a testimony to who the Lord is to those in your life. Maybe the only opportunity God ever gives for others to see and hear about the hope of Christ. Maybe it's you. Maybe that's it. You standing there with a coworker that is broken or upset or whatever it is, and they ask you because they have some idea that you have some hope. And you have to say, you have to surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to be reconciled back to God in relationship with him. You have to give your life, surrender it, give it to him. He came and died for you so you could be in relationship with God. And I can tell you, everything changes. What happens here? It's kind of how the Lord leads. So in our last 5 minutes, let me cover the other ones because they're pretty simple. Let's include the work that you do in deeds and task, because I thought about this in some of us might be like, well, I don't really work like that, but it includes deeds and tasks. Look at Colossians with me again. Look at verse 17. Right before this, Paul wrote this, what you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks through him to God the Father. So he's involving all that you do in deeds. That's where you get deeds and tasks. We'll leave word alone because we're talking about work today. So whatever you do in your deeds and tasks, do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Whatever deeds, think of all the chores. Kids, look at me, young people, all the chores that you have. All the deeds you have, all the tasks you have. Feed the cat, water the dog, clean your room, help mom put out the dinner. All the things that you have, put your bicycle away, right? All the little deeds and tasks that you have to be part of the family. Go brush your teeth, comb your hair. Please comb your hair. Please brush your teeth. Did you brush your teeth? Did that go in all your guys' home? Yeah, I said about five times, right, Mom? And then you just shove the toothbrush in their mouth with about this much toothpaste because they spit out most of it. You got to get a bunch in there, right? All the deeds and tasks. Whatever you do, all the deeds and tasks. It includes cleaning the house, making dinner, running the kids to events, mowing the lawn, fixing the bike, the laundry, grocery shopping, school, all of it. Do all in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Put his name right on it. Put it right on there. Put the name of Christ right on all the tasks you do. Write it on there. Do it like him. How did he do it? He honored the Father, worked for the Father, served the Father. That sound like what we already covered? It's exactly what we already covered. It's exactly. The Lord did it in honoring God the Father in doing his work, working for the Father. You shared it with this morning. My Father works till now, and I'm working till now. Serving the Father in his purpose. Same thing. That's what it means to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All your deeds and tasks, you're doing it to honor God, give reverence to him, because you're working for him and you're serving him. He's going to recognize it at the end. I'll leave it for him to recognize. I'll struggle here when the world doesn't recognize it because the world has been kind of set up that way and my flesh is kind of set up that way. And so we all have to battle through that. And don't get discouraged because that's what we're here to do, is to work through that. And none of us has arrived, so nobody in the room isn't battling this. So that's good. We're all in this together, right? But that's what he's talking about. And to be grateful, thankful because of Christ that I can. That's what that says in there. Whatever you do, do in word or deed, whatever task, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, his character, his nature, serving God, honoring God, working for him, giving thanks through Christ to God the Father. Because of Christ, I can do this. I can serve and honor and worship and work for God. What an incredible thing. I want to be thankful. I can work for God today. Whatever you do today, whatever deed, task that you have, you can work for God. That is incredible to me and such an encouragement that somebody in the church needs to give a Labor Day message to our nation. And remember why this was instilled in our nation, that we work hard and that we honor this, is because it's what God does in a heart and what God does in a life and what's what he's done in the church. This is why we work, you guys. You do all your deeds and tasks the same way in relationship with God, caring about relationship with others, because God uses it to encourage, to build up, to show Christ to others. Listen, all your deeds and tasks, parents, you want God to use that in your kids. Amen? You pray that God will use it in your kids, right? God uses it in your kids. He uses it to show the truth of God, the truth of Christ. You want it to do it in your friends, your family, your coworkers. God uses it. It's a tool of God that he uses you, serving him in that manner. This is just encouragement to me. I could just go on. It matters. Like I said, all of us fall short. That's not the issue. The issue is that we can live for the Lord. Last thing, labor. Labor is a word that I use for the work of the ministry. Look at Colossians 1, 28 and 29. Labor. So we've covered work, we've covered deeds and tasks, same motives, same reasons, relationship with God, so God uses it in relationship with others. Here Paul writes in Colossians 1, 28, 29, we proclaim him. That's me and you guys, us. We proclaim Jesus Christ, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom so that we may present every man complete in Christ. For this purpose also I labor, striving according to the power which that works mightily which within me. That is to all of us. God is at work in our life. The labor that we do in the church, the work of the ministry is so we can present every man complete in Christ. That's our families, you guys. Dad, that's you. Mom, that's you. Kids, that's you. That's all of us. That's why we do what we do. That's why we do Awana Club, and we have Sunday school classes and children ministry and shepherding groups and all of that, because we are laboring, we are working, we're doing the work of the ministry. I'll cover this more next week. That's going to be the theme for the ministry celebration. But we labor. Admonishing, correcting. Galatians 4:19 says it this way. I like the way Paul wrote it this way. My children, in whom I am again in labor until Christ is formed in you. That's what we're doing. Church, that's what we gather. We gather to worship God, to give praise to God, to hear his word, but we're going to work together and minister together. Laboring till Christ is formed in us. Till we're living more for the Lord. We're growing in our relationship. You're doing that in your home. You're doing that in your marriage. You're doing that in your parenting, your families, and your church family. This is the work that we do in building up each other. It's work. It's labor. And it's still the same. Same focus with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. For the Lord, ask for the Lord, not for men. Knowing the Lord will reward us in eternity for how we worked. Working from the soul, serving the Lord. Now, did you connect something? And I'll close with this, okay? A lot of times we understand the ministry that we do, that, you know, church stuff that we do, Awana Club or Sunday school class or whatever it might be, a shepherding group, teaching a men's thing or a Bible study or devotions or sharing some stuff with your wife. We would recognize that as work that we do and ministering to each other that God has given us to do, that God blesses and that God works through and encourages us and grows us, and he does tremendously. But did you notice as I went through there, deeds and tasks do the same thing when you do them unto the Lord? They're not God's word, we're not studying and that kind of thing, but God uses that in people's lives. Did you notice that? And did you notice when I went through work and how much Paul wrote about that there, just your work, the daily thing that you do to complete God in your relationship with God, he wants you to do it unto him and he works mightily within that. See, because church isn't Sunday. Church isn't Wednesday night. Because the word ecclesia in the Bible and what church is called, church is you and me. We're the church. This is just a building we gather together. And we decided to get together on Sunday and honor the Lord and the Lord's Day and that kind of thing and come and minister and worship God, sing praises, hear his word. But we are the church. You're the church tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, and we'll gather again next Sunday. But we are every day. We are the church every day, all day long. Even in your secular job that is about, you know, what it's about, you're the church. You're the body of Christ. We're the family of God. We do the things we do here to build each up, encourage each other. But all of it counts with God. All of it was purposed in the kingdom of God before the foundation of the world, that he would bring Jesus Christ. He would die on the cross, and God in dissemination would put the church age. God's decision. And we're the church every day. So it matters all that we do. That gets really encouraging to me. Really gives me purpose in my heart and mind. From this aspect, I get to work in the ministry all the time, preach God's word, minister to the body of Christ. You would say, be set aside, work for the church. That's you. But it's incredible, isn't it? So as you think about this Labor Day and what you do today and the time you get to talk with your kids about labor and about work and those kind of things, and tomorrow that most of you have the day off and you barbecue, which is all great, do all the fun stuff. You can invite me if you want to. I'm okay. Think about how God has planned and purposed to use all of that for his glory and our good. And pray and ask him, Lord, show me how you use that. Give me a trust and belief that you are. Let me do it diligently, trusting in you and honoring you and fear of the Lord. I want to do all these. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning and for, you know, I just want to thank you for the United States, for the foundation of it and for what was instilled in it, and because of God's truth and God's word. And many, many people fall short. I get that. We've strayed away from the biblical principles that have founded the nation. We understand that. We see what may be coming in our country and all of that. We would pray for you to prepare our hearts for how we would need to live in the midst of it for your purpose. But we want to thank you that we can. We want to thank you that what was instilled here is the honor, the contribution that people have made in working hard to really minister to each other, to really care about our communities and about people and about the welfare of the community and the country. Certainly you would want that in our heart and in what we do. Certainly your word would teach us that that's instilled in us, Lord, as unto you, working for you or serving you. And I want to thank you, Lord, for all that you have provided to in each and every one of us, you know, through the jobs you've given, through the what we do, and you provide resources to our families. I don't want to miss anything in that. I thank you for the diligence of mothers and grandmothers and friends and family and all of that they work hard at to instill the family heart in us, of God's family, of serving and honoring him, of loving each other. So we give you thanks. We want to thank you that we can do all this through Christ. I want to thank the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ, that all that we can do in word or deed to the name of Christ. So we thank you and praise you for today that you've given us to be here, to be encouraged by each other, to go through your word and grow. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen.